Well, thanks for joining us for the Fats, Fuels, and Oils forecast for the week of April 2026. Let's get a little ahead of myself there. Today, we have Ryan Standard with us. He's going to go over the fats and oils section of this report. And if you have questions, go ahead and drop them in the Q&A as you go. And we'll go ahead and we'll respond to the questions at the end of Ryan's presentation. With that, Ryan, up to you.
Thanks, George. So yeah, this week we're diving into the used cooking oil, not literally, but diving into used cooking oil and yellow grease markets. And really, it's interesting. Used cooking oil and distillers corn oil in particular have come under some near-term pressure, and it's a stark contrast to what we've seen in the soybean oil market. Same thing with corn, and even now starting to see in some of the tallow markets, as well as the animal fats market. And so, you know, why is that? I think, you know, what I'm calling March Madness, we saw RIN prices shoot up, heating oil prices shoot up, and even the ag shoot up mid-March, and bids were up very strongly. They were kind of lagging the soybean oil market, and things got a little bit overcooked. RINs dropped, LCFS credit prices came off, as did heating oil, and so buyers pulled out of the market. Additionally, I think there was some downtime at some of the major, at least one, if not two or three major production points. And so that backed some distillers corn oil up into the market, and we saw prices come off significantly. That corn oil helped leverage the used cooking oil bids lower. And we've seen things as low as 49 cents out, be about a month ahead now for the June arrival window. I don't know how much business has been done at that level, but it is certainly a sign of weakness ahead. Now, we think that's short-lived. As you can see here in our forecast, we're forecasting prices, this is out of the Illinois market, to steadily increase going into the summer before picking up again here sharply in August. And the reason why is that really strong ags market. We have really strong soybean oil prices, really strong corn prices. I mean, corn's getting close to $7 a bushel on the May contract, and soybean oil is well over 60 cents. So there's not a lot of places for the buyers to turn. That demand from the idled facility or facilities is going to come back soon, and that's going to create a resurgence in demand. So I think this is a short-lived floor that we're in now on the used cooking oil, and I expect that to pick up here in the near term. Again, I alluded to supply. People have often pointed to supply as a reason for the lower prices. Used cooking oil typically picks up, at least in production restaurant activity, but it's not that big, you know, going from March, April, May into June, July, August, that summer kind of travel month. Restaurant sales, according to the Federal Reserve economic data, the freight data, are only up 2%. So that's not a huge increase. True, collections are easier in the summertime. I would say you ask any oil collector, they have more supply in the summer, but it's not enough to justify a 7 cents per pound drop in the price paid for used cooking oil. Additionally, exports, there's going to be some price support there. Europe still needs plenty of used cooking oil to fill their renewable fuels mandate and the double counting feedstocks, whether that's going into the UK or into Western Europe. Demand is really strong off of the East Coast. They continue to struggle to get enough supply out of Asia. That had been a market that was supplying plenty of UCO to the EU. In late 2020, but COVID disruption, shipping disruptions, empty containers, you know, going back to Asia instead of being filled and shipped into the EU, have caused all sorts of problems, and shipping costs have been really strong. I know that used cooking oil is trading into Malaysian biofuels facilities at, you know, 1,100 plus CFR, and so the EU market can't compete with that. U.S. stuff is able to get into that ARA market cheaper than what Asian material can get into there for. So still seeing good demand from the EU, and that should offer some price support in the near term. Additionally, credits are lower. Like I said, that's been an off-blamed reason and did drive the downturn in the market. But there's still plenty of value out there in the credit markets. If you combine current values for LCFS on a gallon of fuel produced from used cooking oil with RIN values, you know, you take 1.5 times the RIN price as well as a blender's tax credit. I mean, it's as much as 65 cents per gallon of credit value that a renewable fuel producer is getting. So there is room to pay a little bit more for feedstocks. And I think once the capacity picks back up here in the short term, the competition to secure material is going to increase, and that's going to drive the prices higher. And then going on to the long term, you know, I've touched on this several times over the last few webinars, but, you know, compared to March production capacity, we're seeing a 300% increase from then to the end of December. And so those feedstocks are going to have to come from somewhere. Obviously, there's going to be additional demand pull on the vegetable oils, but used cooking oil is kind of that crown jewel in terms of low CI score. And there's going to be plenty of demand for that. And, you know, how does, you know, the sellers ration demand by increasing supply, or I mean, by increasing price. So that's what I think we're going to see happen, you know, pretty steadily through the year. There'll be some periods of disruption as plants go down and, you know, there's catalyst changes, there's construction, different things that may interrupt production temporarily as this capacity increases. But we will see steadily increasing prices into the new year. Again, so maybe some volatility there and in the August-September window, and potentially late July, but we should see steadily increasing prices heading into the summer. As for used cooking oil, just briefly, the tallow market's very firm. We expect that to offer price support to choice white grease and in turn, yellow grease. When you have $7 corn, that tends to make motivated buyers of the feed sector, particularly at current prices for yellow grease. So we expect those prices to continue to be stable and in a trend higher here in the short term as formulations increase and there's less optionality for buyers in that market. Yeah, with that, George, that kind of wraps it. I'm happy to take any questions that may be out there.
All right, Ryan. Could you elaborate on volume availability projections for UCO?
Yes. I mean, I think there's the supply increase. Like I said, we expect production to increase, but I don't think it's going to be a humongous increase. If you take a look at the balance sheets, you'll kind of see what we have projected out for the year. I don't remember exactly what's in there, but I think that would be a better answer rather than me kind of speculating off, you know, what we think those will be. Like I said, it's a 2% increase historically looking at the 17, 18, 19 average. We expect it to return to more normalized levels, but the last half of 2020 was not too atypical from that 17 through 19 average. November, December were a little bit weaker, but yeah, I would say it's reasonable to expect maybe a 5% increase over that level here in the short term. Yeah.
Okay. And when Ryan, you say the balance sheets, are you talking about the balance sheets that they can purchase on the site or the ones in the forecasting?
Yeah, the forecasts or even the ones that they can purchase through the site. Those will get better answers.
Okay. And to find them, go to the Jacobson site and then go to the reports section. You'll see balance sheets listed up there. Next question. In a recent presentation, Valero called UCO nearly tapped out in the U.S. Could you comment on that?
If that's in terms of supply, yes, I would agree. I think anywhere where you can get used cooking oil, it's being procured. And that's, most definitely. Household, and I would say that probably extends through North America and even into Europe. I know that people have suggested household collections. I don't know how, obviously it's regional, but I don't know how many people are turning over enough volume of cooking oil in their homes to create a substantial supply. But yes, I would agree that the actual supply is probably tapped out. I think we call the two markets together about yellow grease and used cooking oil about 3 billion pounds. And I would peg used cooking oil somewhere around 2 billion pounds per year. And I don't know that we could get much more than that.
When do you expect distillers' corn oil supplies to increase?
I think early May is a good time frame. I know there's been some seasonal maintenance. Again, ADM's expected to fire up two big plants, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I think Columbus, Nebraska, which should add some significant volume. I think that's like a 5% increase to what's currently out there. maybe less than that. But again, shoot me an email and I'll verify that. But yeah, early May, I think, is a good time frame to expect to see those plants fire up. That's just speculation on my part, but also the seasonal downtime to kind of wash out and get back to a more normalized production schedule.
One more question we got here, Ryan. Underdeveloped countries, regions have long been the target for increased UCO collection and supply, example, Africa. When do you expect this collection and supply will occur? And what is the percent of UCO supply increase to the global market?
I don't know how much you can get from these countries. That you'd have to know how much is available there. I know that developing countries are a source of, I mean, there's a lot there because obviously China is that is provided to be a really big source of used cooking oil because of collection efforts that have been implemented, you know, across the country. And so there's a substantial amount that goes through there, but they have a centralized, government structure, and it's, I think, easier to get things rolling there than it might be in other developed nations. So I couldn't give you a good comment or a good estimate there, other than to say that there's a possibility there, but it's a big hurdle. And I think that you run into some argument on where that oil gets taken from. And I know that's been a concern for some developing nations, that if you take used cooking oil away from larger industrial sites, you're kind of cutting off smaller market people that might use that for food.
Okay. Good enough answer, Ryan.
Sorry, my office mates are a little loud behind me.
All right. I also wanted to take a second. That's the only question I have. I'll buy you all a little time if you think of other questions. We have the Jacobson virtual conference on May 26th. So the registration for that should be in the email. If you don't have that, you can email me back at george.morris@fastmarkets.com. And I can send you the registration link for that event. We also have a physical event now in Denver in August. So it's split into two events, virtual and then physical. And I'm also going to get a link here for those that are interested. Tori's running an oilseed webinar on Thursday. So I'm going to go ahead and paste the link here in the chat. So if you want to register for that, we got a record number of people attending that presentation right now. The link's right there in the chat for Zoom. Meanwhile, we got one more question that's popped up. Is the industry developing more official grades for UCO and pricing the quality visibly in any way?
I think that most people go by, so the AFO specs, I believe, are 15 and 2. So 15 max FFA 2 MIU. From what I can tell, that there's not much that trades like as high as a 15. Typically, it tends to be 10 and under. I think people individually price that relative to that 10 and 2, 15 and 2 marker. And so a premium gets paid through contract on that. And then there's penalties that are adjusted into the individual like relationship. So I guess short answer is no, I haven't seen that like codified throughout the industry, but I have in terms of a trade group, but it does seem to be worked into contracts where buyers and sellers are arranging premiums or discounts based on a standardized quality spec.
Okay. Well, Ryan, that's all we have. Thank you for everyone who's in attendance with the great questions. And Ryan, thank you for your answers. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks. Have a good one, everyone.